It's time for the Giz Whiz with Mads Mattis writer Dick D. Bartolo. This is episode 2078, recorded Thursday, February 5th, 2026. Chillin' with Chad. On this episode of the Giz Whiz, Diggity takes us to the New York Boat Show. He also has a pocket-sized phone charger and an iPod Touch in the warehouse. Plus, the crappy corner has an all-new theme. All next on the Giz Whiz!
It's the same dumb show with Diggity D and OMG Chat on your PC. It's time for the Giz Whiz because gadgets are his business. They've got a gizmo sickness, geek disease,
under pathology.
Rows and rows of USBs, growing LEDs. Get ready for the Giz Whiz now.
Now, and here is your gadget athlete, Dick D. Bartolo. How you doing, Diggy D?
I'm doing good, sir. And you?
Doing good, doing good. It's excellent. Warming up after the little cold snap for me, which... not for
you. Yeah, we had our warm-up today was 32... And Saturday night, it will be 6.
Ooh, yeah.
yeah.
And 32 is still frozen solid.
Oh, my gosh, yes.
That still won't thaw anything.
No. Wind's 30 to 40 miles an hour, so it's going to be like 20 degrees below zero.
Oh, no.
This is the worst winter I remember. It's just awful.
Yeah. Anything new for you this last week?
Boy, nothing really thrilling. I couldn't even see the trains for several days because they plowed the park and put all the snow up on the blocking the way to see the trains.
Oh, so yeah. Oh, the grates.
Finally, I went down yesterday with ski poles so I could climb to the top of the and peek and see the Chicago Limited go
by. Oh, no. So, oh, no.
Yeah.
And I assume you were worried about ice. I mean, I don't... I've been seeing so many videos of this winter around, you know, and I don't even know where, you know, what part of the country, but oh, my gosh.
I posted a picture of the Hudson with tons of ice. Someone said, oh, you know, we could use that for parking spaces.
Yeah. Whoa.
Not good. Not good.
Let's see. Over the weekend, I did run in a 5K. I was part of the Orlando Magic 5K, which is basketball team here in Orlando. They threw a 5K, so that was fun to run in that. And they had all their mascots out there and stuff like that. So it was a ton of fun. Yeah.
Good.
Yeah, about it.
Are you working your way up to do a marathon?
Oh, my gosh. Maybe. No, I have nothing on planned for anything like that. I don't even have like a half marathon planned. Like if I, the next one that, you know, so Orlando has a half marathon and then of course Disney has their half marathon. So those would be kind of the only ones that I'd be able to go to. And those only happen like, say, like the one in Orlando only happens once a year. So that would be next fall. But it would still be something I'd kind of want to start training for now. if it's still, you know, 9 months away. Because, I mean, that's actually kind of pretty far away. But, you know, in the first, up to about 3 months before a race, if you're going to run more than 12 miles, yeah, I would say you want to start truly training. I mean, more than 10 miles. More than 10 miles. You truly, truly need to train. Even at 10 miles, for someone who's athletic, who has never run before, it's a push. I have not run that distance in probably a year and a half. And so I would definitely want to train again, work on it, you know, see how I'm feeling.
Yeah.
Get, you know, my cardio is just not there because I used to be able to just run to the point where I could run and not stop. And I kind of didn't, I had not met the limit to where I knew that I needed to stop. I was like,
wow.
It was like, I could just start jog, you know, I could run at such a pace where I could run, and then I could jog to a degree where, you know, my lungs would just work good enough that I'd be back and I could run again. Not there really? Now. Not there now. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I'd have to train up to that. So yeah, a 5K though, I can do it. The thing is you got, think about it in times of workout. A 5K, if you're running really, really fast, is like 25 minutes. An average person, right? I mean, like the athletes at the 5K that I was just at, they finished it in 15 minutes. You know, 15, 16 minutes. That's, you know, that's like 6 minute miles is what you're running. You're running a whole mile in 6 minutes. I would be more at a 10 minute mile. A fast runner or a fastish runner would be like at a 9 minute mile. So, right, those 3 miles over, you know, 10 minutes, you're done in 30 minutes. But when you get up to 13 miles, yeah. You know, 16 miles, it just becomes such a long workout. It become, you know, you're just doing it for 3 hours. You know, marathons, you know, last so many hours of just running that really does become the biggest constraint. Like, I don't even have time to train, you know? Like, I'm going to practice running for 3 hours today is my goal. You know, it's like, that's a ton of time.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Okay, let's jump into it. The New York boat show, something you're crazy excited about.
I made a little video there, and this is some of the stuff I saw and with Dennis.
Ooh.
The New York Boat Show opened January 21st, but closed on January 24th because of the big New York City snowstorm. But let's look around.
Big attraction for quieter water like lakes and rivers that don't have a lot of traffic are deck boats. This is from Avalon. And as you can see, this is very spacious, but it has a feature on it no other boat I have ever seen has. We'll walk on up. And here's your helm, the steering station. And this is... the floating flame, and this is said to be the only approved fire pit for a boat. Okay,
oh, wow.
So we're going to go back, find out more about
the current
fire
flame
pit,
is only,
and then we'll also find
demonstration
out the price
purposes.
Of the boat.
Yes, yes.
So the walkthrough, that was the Avalon 23, but we have an official here. John, who's going to tell us the speed, and then I have a question for you, John. So
absolutely.
The speed of this with the Merck 115?
The 23-footer with the 115, if it had the high-performance lifting fins.
That's this. That's what I was going to ask you. Why does that boat have those and this boat doesn't?
It all depends on how you want to order them. Avalons are all custom built to a dealer spec when you order them. So you mix and match having them in your showroom different ways depending upon how you want to use it. If top speed is where you're going with the same engine, you would want to add those. Just by having those on the exact same boat, this boat is going to do 6 miles an hour more by having those.
Okay. Wow.
And that
just by disturbing the water.
28 miles an hour with two passengers on a 23 LSZ with a 115 Pro XS.
Okay, and the beam is 8.6?
8.6,
okay.
Yes, sir.
And do those strakes go all the way?
Full length to the front
length
of the boat. Correct.
Okay. And is this a 2026 model?
Yes, it is. Okay. All of the ones here are 2026.
And John, I have to ask you about the fire pit.
That I'm going to have to defer you to Clint.
So this is it from the back, and I don't know if it's bolted to the floor or not. But I just
it almost looks
like you
could throw it in the water a
with
bit.
A gentleman from the company who said I wanted to ask about the price and something about the fire pit, and he said unless we can do an entire thing talking about my marina and what I do here, I do not want to be in a video. Okay, so he's not in the video. So we can go to the website and find out more about the fire pit.
Oh my God, we got a big wave coming. I think this thing's gonna slide. Just kidding.
So we I got this in the company.
Does the floating flame need to be bolted down? Answer that is no. It's got rubber feet, just like a Yeti cooler. It's not gonna slide around. It's got the propane tank inside, super low center of gravity. This thing's good no matter what waves you're gonna be hitting. Okay, the number one question that we get, are fire pits on boats legal? The answer to that is there's no laws for or against fire pits on boats.
It's a gray area.
We're doing it right now, and there are no legal standards for it. What I can say, that propane marine grills have been used for 75 years. People use them all the time. Literally, they've sold millions of them. They're safe. They're well adopted. That's usually my number one comeback when we're at boat shows and people ask about, is it legal?
There's a trend at the boat show. One of them is to have wide open spaces and a lot of cabins, almost all glass, like this Navi here. This is a 28 footer. And as you can see, you can see
the cabin is almost
scenery
a see-through
when you're inside the cabin. And we'll walk down here and there's another boat. I'm going to carry my Progressive shopping bag with me.
That one with the black trim?
This guy, again.
Yeah.
Plenty of see-through room. Looking at a little deck boat here. This is very nice. Also, a lot of transoms are almost not transoms anymore. This is like all the way open to the back. So if you want to go
water skiing
and you have to get in the water, just walk back and jump in the water. Here's another look at a different kind of transom. It's all glass with walk-through doors. And another boat where, look at how much of the side falls down. So the deck becomes like a little patio. So when you're out on the water, you know, it almost looks like this has a glass insert. So I guess you can look down and see fish. Except
it is. It's clear glass. You can see into the water.
40.
And then when that's a wall, you can see through it.
And it runs around 640,000 to 700 and who knows. Here's another from MJM. Again, a lot of glass. We have a performing.
Yeah, a diva. Yeah.
Performing salesman.
Performer, yeah.
Windows open all the way up.
That's gorgeous. And it almost reminds me of like an older timey.
My God.
How are you, buddy?
I'm good. This is Mike O'Rourke. Was a former dock master at 79th Street Boat Basin and owes me $50.
Oh, good thing you ran into him.
I couldn't figure out what is that guy doing.
Well, we learned, as you saw, they're wide open. You can see all around you, even if you're in a boat. It's January, and what I found is that it was kind of fun. It was like a day without the water. Okay, you know, people say a day on the water. A day without the water is way cheaper than a day in the water. But we had a lot of fun, and I didn't get a tan.
And then later, the water would be frozen.
Yes, exactly. exactly.
I love... let's go back to the flame in that pontoon boat. That looked incredible. My biggest fear, I wouldn't worry about legality. I'd worry that some other boater would call in often. It'd be like, we see a fire on this other boat. How often do you see an open flame on a boat? Never.
I'd
be worried if you were in a party atmosphere, you might get some person going, oh, there's a fire over there. I got to call that in.
Yeah. I think people who boat lakes don't really understand people like us who boat the Hudson, where there are tugboat wakes, there are circle liner wakes. There are wakes that can break half-inch nylon nut lines. I had a tugboat go by, and my boat tilted so much, the houseboat, it broke the walkway off. I mean, Yeah. We're talking ferocious wakes. And yeah. to have a fire pit like on the Hudson, it would be suicidal. It
would be. Yeah. You're big city boating. Definitely. And then just those open glass cabins and some of the features that like the transoms and the lowering walls, like incredible. I love that I've seen that too, is a lot of the cabins are going like all glass. I've seen that on cars too. And you know, this may not be logically what's going on, but I wonder, I've seen a few like videos and articles about how great glass is. It's a great insulator. It's really strong. You know, if you put I've seen some articles about the glass roof on the Tesla is stronger than if it was a metal roof. And the way
that's interesting
when it can also like bend and like under stress factors, it works differently than metal. I don't know if that's the same thing that's going on in the boat industry, but I like the look of it for sure.
I also, if I were buying a boat, I would have a boat with a transom. Again, if you break down in the Hudson or something and a tug goes by, you're going to have a 5 or 6 foot wake, and I don't want to have zero transom. I want something that the wake can hit. Even though these boats look great when you walk back and then it's just this tiny little railing to get onto the platform to jump in the river. That's great, but not for rough water boating. It was very funny. When I got into boat racing, I raced a Checkmate at first, and I called the company and I said, you know, you have a course or something about, and he said, my son wants to visit New York. He's a boat racer, pay his fare, and he'll teach you how to race your boat. I said, oh, okay. Kid was 16 or 17. I flew him to New York. My Checkmate, very low in the water, okay? And we go out on the Hudson, and we are going up the Hudson, and a tugboat's coming down and throwing a horrendous wake, and the kid's at the wheel, and I said, whatever you do, keep under power as we get closer to this tug. And what does the kid do? Pulls it back, which makes the bow go down, and this 5 foot wave goes over my boat.
Oh my God.
Fills it. The boat turns over. We climb up on the bottom of the boat, and I said, you know, I don't quite believe that I flew you to New York.
Yeah.
You've been here an hour, and pretty destroyed. Much my boat would be at the bottom if it wasn't that it's filled with air. Anyway.
Whoa. Yeah. And this was the owner's son?
The owner's son, okay? So they paid the bill to get the boat restored, but people don't understand the power of tugs and circle line boats. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
They're fierce. They're fierce.
Yeah. Anyway. Oh, my gosh.
But I ain't buying a boat.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
No fear.
Okie dokie. That is awesome. Love the boat show.
Okay, let's take a peek at something, a problem. We can talk about it afterwards. You probably are not concerned, but a few people are.
Okay, so, okay.
Are you worried about RFID protection?
Oh, sometimes.
Okay. Oh, I guess not. All right. So
maybe
like
my
a month
wallet.
Ago, I was watching late night television, and one of those ads that came on, it said, do you know a thief can buy a $10 gadget and go pass you by and hold this out and copy it down all your credit card information unless you have RFID wallet. I don't know how much they want, like $40 or something. Anyway, I thought, you know what, let me see how much RFID protection can be if you are concerned about that. All right, in the meantime, right before the show, I went to Google AI and said, do I need RFID protection? And Google says RFID protection for credit cards is generally considered unnecessary by security experts because while technically possible, RFID skimming is rare compared to other forms of theft. All right. But if you want RFID protection, I found out it can be incredibly inexpensive. All right. There's one company that offers a complete kit. All right. I think it's called the 16-piece kit. Now, I don't know how many credit cards you have. You can just wrap your credit card in tinfoil if you want, all right? Actually, they say that these are tinfoil. But this is an easy way to do it, is
aluminum.
Aluminum foil. And you just keep your credit card in there. And in theory, the detector cannot pull any info from it. And you get a ton of them. All right. Look at this. And for passports. And this, I don't understand. What kind of protection is this? It's for name tags.
I guess if you have an employee card, I don't know quite why you put your name tag
in one of these.
Maybe that's it.
And put it in here, and then when you get to the scanner, take it out of there. Anyway, so this entire kit, what's your guess?
$20.
That would be my guess. Ta-da! We're going to go over there and take a look. $5.
Wow.
All right, so if you want
security, I couldn't believe this.
You get 16 different RFID blocking sleeves.
In my head, I was thinking $6 if you want, was the lowest.
For $5. The other thing I found was an RFID wallet from Runbox. All right. So I didn't open this yet because I don't know if we have aluminum sleeves in it or what we have. Also, I wanted to see how big and thick it was. Well, it says that it is made out of a leather that is woven with...
I have an idea they mean the lining is woven with metal.
Yeah.
So that the entire wallet is RFID proof. You know, I wish this came off because it said two ID windows. You have this one and this one. But if you wanted to make the wallet thinner, you know, you can't. This is sewn in.
All right, so the Runbox wallet for men, women stay away.
Okay. $26.59. Look at, there are 36 choices for colors and patterns. I've never seen a wallet with this many options. All right. Let's see what ratings. Oh, you know what? 4.5 stars out of 5 from 18,101 people. Number one bestseller in men's wallets. All right, so RFID protection, you probably don't need it, but if you want it, you can get it for under $30 or under $5. Oh, where's my wallet?
I like that a lot. So I've had a few wallets that have an RFID lining.
And you
can see, it'll like, if you open it up big enough, you can see like RFID blocking on it.
Do you worry about it?
So when it comes to credit cards, I really don't. I kind of looked into some RFID, like what can you do to snag the RFID stuff. And to get the credit card one, it is more encrypted and more difficult on a credit card than, say, a ID card for a building or thing or something like that.
Oh, okay.
ID cards for buildings are actually pretty simple, you know, and it's still a whole process. You got to be within like 3 feet of them, you know, like it is a process, but that's what I would worry more about if I had a job that required that. Or if I had a building that, you know, it had access to my apartment or something like that. And that type of stuff is much easier to snag than the credit card data. And I wouldn't really worry about it for a passport. I know that it has that little chip in there, I don't think I would worry that much at all about a passport. So there are certain situations that, yeah, I think that the RFID blocking, if you're in a certain situation, could be smart enough, because like it is not that hard to snag to do it. There's like the Flipper Zero is like a very consumer grade product that anyone can kind of buy that will do this, and then there's more sophisticated, specifically targeted, you know, things just for RFID. But at the same time, even if all of that, I'm still not that worried. It is a pretty sophisticated attack. If you're gonna get it from someone, you're getting it from like five or six people. You know, you're not doing 10,000 people. You really do have to micro target each person that you're getting. And so there's no real big way that this is like a big threat, that this is going to happen in every single mall.
Yeah, that's interesting.
And so that's why I'm typically just not that scared of it. Even though I know specifically that the technology exists, and it's not that difficult, but there's just not that many people, you know. Anyway, so I don't worry about it that much. Long way of saying I don't worry about it that much.
Okay.
Let's take a look at these gadgets real fast, just on Amazon.
Yeah, I thought the wallet was actually a very decent wallet for $28, I think.
I agree. And a lot of wallets, I'm telling you, have this built in, and you might not even know. I was trying to pull up my wallet earlier, and that I know that it had the RFID blocking in it, and I couldn't even find a note in there, like, you know, a copy point that was like RFID blocking.
Okay.
You know, I was like, because it is just a fabric that you kind of, you know, that you just add to it that will block out the RFID signal.
And also the Run Box, I like, it has a little key in the front to push the credit card out easier.
Oh, yes.
I've not seen that before. Yes. I'm just going to use it as a wallet.
This, I might be able to find my wallet kind of quickly. This one. I think this is it. If the back has the same. Yeah, so it has that same sort of thing.
Oh, it does. Okay.
Exactly, yeah. Where you can push it out. Look, RFID blocking. It did say it.
They all say for men. It's like women. I guess women don't really carry wallets.
I mean, the only other thing I could think of is like the traditional woman's wallet is taller. You know, this is like
foldable one. Yes,
but still,
you're right.
Yeah, it is kind of silly. They're throwing that on there hard. Anyway, yeah, I think very, very cool stuff. And the $5 option is pretty insane. And this is honestly, this is, I think, great. If you're really worried about getting RFID hacked or whatever, you're probably only worried about one card. Because I'm telling you, you could probably throw out the credit card stuff. Like, I'm not that worried about credit card stuff. You're probably worried about one or two cards. So this would be perfect. Throw that over those two cards that you're worried about, and then kind of forget about it.
Perfect.
Okie dokie. A pocket-sized phone charger. You teased it. I'm excited about it.
Yeah, this I like this a lot. And here's the video and the reason
we've done many phone charges over the years. We're going to do another one now, and I'll tell you why I wanted to get a different one. Okay. This is my now ancient LG G8 phone. And the reason I'm keeping it is Dennis Wendell and my spouse has the exact same phone, and he is a non-techie person. So when he calls up and says, why does my phone do this? I have the exact same phone, and I can ask him what he did. I can see what it does on my phone and hopefully clear up what the problem is. Now, I have a new phone, the Motorola. I forgot the model number, the stylus with a built-in stylus. I can't use it yet for a very bizarre reason. Okay. I originally bought it for $450 on Amazon. Was not crazy about it. I returned it. And then 2 months later, I got an ad from Google Fi. I have a spare Google Fi card, so I have a second emergency number, saying you can get the Motorola stylus for $99. The only stipulation was it must be used on Fios.
On Google Fi.
6 more weeks when I can switch my Verizon card into this phone. So the problem now is that the battery in this is dying. Halfway through the day, it just cycles off. Sometimes it cycles off and restarts just on its own. I wanted to get the smallest charger I could to carry with me. So I originally bought this a couple of weeks ago. Inu, I-N-I-U.
Not okay. The smallest.
Fast charger. I like this. The USB is magnetic. The cable actually is magnetic, and it becomes the strap.
Huh? Wow.
But it's little bit big, okay? I wanted something even smaller. And I read about this. I read about it yesterday. I got it today from Amazon. It is supposed to be one of the smallest, most compact, flattest, most hard to get out of box.
It's so thin. The box is so thin.
I don't like these little tabs. Okay. And I want something that I can just slip in my pocket with the phone. Wow. It's clear.
Oh, my.
It's very lightweight. I'm impressed.
It's like air.
You know what? This is nice.
Whoa.
This is nice.
That is a way. How many milliamps?
It's only 2,500, but it's really neat.
Like, why is there a cable in the box?
To charge it?
I know. If you're using the cable in the phone and you want to charge this while you're charging the phone, you would need another cable. So that, I guess that's what that is. All right, there's a little on switch here. Oh, okay. It's fully charged. And this is the USB-C. All right, now
they really should have just made the port that that cable comes out of be the charge port.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yes.
Charging.
But that would have been good.
All right, so I like this. That is
a spiffy
little charger. Let's see how much it was. $18. Is that all? 4.4 stars out of 317 people. And, you can get it in pink. it's a tiny battery, okay? It's 2,500 milliamps. But that'll be enough to get me through the rest of the day when this dies halfway through the day. And this little guy, I'll tell you how much this cost and how many milliamps this is. Oh, wow. The other one is 45-watt fast charging and 10,000 milliamps. I cannot believe it was $20.
That's great.
And it has a little paw print. Each one of these is 25% for the battery. Boy, that to me seems like a deal for $20. And that got, wow, 4.5 stars from 71,530 people. And I've had some several charges from that company before. That's this one there.
In order to get that many reviews, the amount of products you have to sell, because not everybody reviews it, it's staggering.
Also, I was looking at it before the show. It has a flashlight. It has three ports. It has two USB-C in and out ports and a USB-A port. And it went up $1 since I recorded that a couple of days ago.
And I love the cable attached.
This is an incredible buy.
Yeah. Yeah. Didn't we already cover this? We're just covering it again.
I don't think I did.
Oh, man. Yeah. Yeah. That is an incredible buy. I mean, that's great. Whoops. Definitely screenshot of that. And then the tiny, thin little, this is like the most perfect emergency battery.
It really is. And 2,500 is fine.
Yeah.
To get you through, you know, it says we'll charge your phone halfway, but for an emergency, it's great.
Right. And you're obviously, the trade-off is just how thin it is. You just throw it anywhere, throw it in a backpack and forget about it. About it. I may have a solution, by the way, for the phone problem. Is I'm pretty sure the Moto G stylus, based off of just quick Googling it, has dual SIM capability. So you can put two SIM cards in the same phone, and you might be able to just keep them both connected to the same network and use that phone and get both phone calls from it. I haven't ever experimented with dual SIMs. But quickly, I just Googled it, and the Moto G stylus does do dual SIMs. So there's a thing to start Googling and looking up, is you might be able to put two of them in the same phone.
Okay. But you know what? Even if I don't want to get hit with a $300 additional charge, but the thing is, when I will wait the 4 weeks or whatever it is.
Yeah.
But I will keep my Fios card. It'd be great. That would be wonderful.
Yeah. And
how do you make a call and tell the phone what number you want to use?
So from my memory banks, this is only what we're going off of. So take it with a grain of salt. Is in the system settings, you can choose defaults. So you can say either use both intelligently, or kind of, or like, don't use this network for data, but do accept calls, or don't, you know,
I see. Okay.
That's how I remember it. But I don't 100% know. I don't know if you have to choose just one or the other, or if you can kind of keep both on. And then, you know, even when you, Android might be intelligent enough that once you hit that send on the call, it might do a pop-up that's like, which phone number do you want to call from?
Okay.
You know, yeah. I'm not sure.
Okay. I'm glad you found that. That's super.
My default answer is check out system settings. It may say like, what phone number do you always want to default to? In the system.
That's great.
Okie dokie, with that, it is time to get
the new theme.
A bit crappy.
No, you don't need it, but you might want it at Chad's Crappy Corner. Get it.
Okie dokie, new month, new theme. So we left it up to the patrons. As always, thank you, patrons, for supporting the show. The options were gadgets from Christmas. So I basically have been given a bunch of, you know, I'm known as the gadget guy. So people give me gifts at Christmas. And so those gadgets, kitchen gadgets. So kind of the classic, you know, I have tons of things for the kitchen that I could get, or organizing gadgets. I kind of felt like this was almost like a new year, new me type of theme. Is, you know, a lot of people like to organize and things, and there's plenty of organization gadgets. So, what do you think that the patrons decided?
Well, it'd be fun to see what people gave you, but then kitchen gadgets are always fun too.
It's been a while too.
I'm gonna do. I'll say kitchen gadgets. I think in third place was gadgets to get organized.
Okay.
How wrong am I?
You should have gone with your gut. Gadgets from Christmas was the winner with 50% of the vote.
Oh, my God. Okay.
And then organizing gadgets actually was in
second. Oh, came in second.
And gadgets was okay, in third. Okay. But, yeah, so gadgets from Christmas is the category. And then I recorded a video earlier. So let's take a look.
Oh, I'm at Dick's Gadget Warehouse and I see a plastic bag.
That's not right. One second. I recorded a video earlier, so let's take a look at this.
Okay, so we are at it with the first of the gadgets that I got for Christmas theme of the Crappy Corner. And here it is, the whole gadget. It's called Heise, H-I-S-E. And it's kind of a weird what the heck is it kind of at first, but once you see all the pieces, maybe it will become clearer. This is a way to instantly cool down a can of anything that you want. Soda, beer, that type of thing. It can be carbonated or it could be uncarbonated. I've shown off a device years ago that was similar to this, but this is completely manual. Using this little crank here, you will add ice and the can, and then in 60 seconds, the can will be cold, just ice cold. So that's what I'm going to show you how to do. So the first step with this is actually to take out the gear out of the little bucket here and attach it to the bottom of the can with this suction cup. So here we'll push on that, and that's pretty well attached. Then we will slide it into this little trough area for the motor. And then there is some ribbing in here to keep that can in place, which is really, really cool. It also comes with these two extra bits. This is to put the stopper in here so that when you fill this with ice, the ice won't go into this area. It has extra room for 16-ounce cans, or I guess this is, yeah, 16-ounce cans, which, you know, some energy drinks or a beer are that size. So we'll go ahead and add this in here. Then add your ice, and this is just normal ice. I kind of tried to get the bad ice out of my freezer, so that's why we got those big chunks. And then it comes with this lid. It also comes with this, which is like also to help you put it over. I decided after using it a few times, I didn't really like it. Now you grab the knob and spin it. And inside the can is spinning along that ice. And if we spin it for about 60 seconds, that will transfer all that cold ice into the liquid. And it shouldn't spin up the bubbles in the carbonated beverage too much. By just spinning the outside of the can like this, it should help kind of transfer faster the cold into the liquid of the can. I'm going to say this is long enough. And just that long, kind of remove some of the ice. And you kind of have to remove the can with the hand crank at the same time. Otherwise, you won't ever really be able to get the can out. We've had some ice kind of spill everywhere. And then there's a tiny little thing to kind of grab because pulling this off is actually quite hard. So you actually have to grab this edge of the suction cup to kind of pull that suction cup off of there. And as you can see, there's already condensation all over this. And to kind of prove it just a little bit more, you can kind of see the cold going off there. And I was hoping to maybe get some condensation on the edge of this glass as well. Either way, I can just sip it and tell. Yes, very, very cold. I also have a little thermometer here, and I can try to read inside of there. It looks like I'm getting about 50 degrees, where the table is 75 degrees. So, yeah. Cold. It really worked. And I really like this. In the past, we looked at another version of this sort of centrifugal force in ice gadget. That one was rechargeable batteries, and that was pretty annoying. So this one, with a mechanical motion, is pretty cool.
Did you get
That's
it?
Nice.
I hope you're laughing at the pretty cool joke. Anyway.
I'm in hysterics.
Yes, exactly. So here it is on Amazon, only $15. Wait a second. Can you put a bottle in this? Is that? Oh my gosh! It's a feature I didn't even know. You can stick a bottle in it.
Holy cow!
It's been so long since I've looked at that Amazon page. I guess I didn't. It was a gift. I never did look at the Amazon page. I didn't know that was a feature. This was one of those Amazon things that are just kind of, you know, there were no instructions. It's just this.
Yeah.
So now seeing the Amazon page. Yeah, I guess you can put bottles in it as well. That's really, really cool.
That's pretty nice.
I really, really like this because I forget the name of the other gadget that I had. I liked that one as well because every once in a while I have a can of something and I would like it cold and I'd rather not pour it over ice. I just want to get the can really cold, kind of fat. Like maybe I just got back with the groceries and I want a Diet Coke. And the other device, you would try to suction it to the bottle and then turn it on, and the handle of it would literally just spin around. And the idea was you'd shove the handle into the ice, and that would wedge it enough that the can would just spin while it was sitting on the ice. It was really not an elegant way to do this. And this is way more elegant. It only, you know, it does take up a lot of ice, you know, about 2 cups worth of ice. But it's really fast. I mean, I'm telling you, it's really fast. You just saw it. And so, you know, to have a really cold beverage that quick is fun. And I really like the manual design of it, that it doesn't need anything else, which is great. And yeah, it won't foam up, as it says on the
thing
right there.
Clever.
Yeah, will not foam. Okie dokie. With that, let's head into the warehouse, Dick's Gadget Warehouse.
They're geeky and they're goofy, together they are loopy. When gadgets pass away, he takes them out to play in Dick's Gadget Warehouse.
Okay, so I found this in the warehouse, and it's the iPod Touch. And toward the end of the thing, for some reason, I call it the iPad Touch.
But, you know, I'm at Dick's.
Sorry about that.
The iPod Touch. Okay, there you go.
Gadget Warehouse, and I see a plastic bag that says iPad Touch. Or what is it called? The iTouch? Anyway, it's in there. And something else was in the package. Anybody remember this?
Oh my God, a 30-pin connector.
Do you remember this gadget?
I don't really remember the gadget.
Mac, and it was the 3-in-1 micro dock, okay? So it was a way to charge your iPod Touch. We did it at a very weird angle. Did not do it. So I charge it up, and do you remember you turned it on by running that arrow?
Yeah, unlocked it. Yeah, with that.
All right, so this
this
has
like never been updated.
I guess I put a lot of them on.
No,
myself,
it can't be.
But it's a really nice screen.
Evernote.
It,
oh my god!
It also
gosh.
Had FaceTime on it, since it had the cameras built in. And as I said, this is the fourth generation iPod Touch.
The Twit app is
what
on there.
This added was if you had the clock app on here, that when the alarm rang, it would ring through the two speakers, okay? So it had a snooze button. You could fast forward to the next song through the dock. I'm going to let you hear what it sounds like. I like that it says, 2 1.5-inch speakers for big sound. And you know how big sound comes out of 2 1.5-inch speakers. I didn't have to pay for it. It was amazing. It was 2010, and Rosetta Stone had announced that they were discontinuing learning languages from CD-ROMs, and you would start learning online. And they had a press event where they announced all this. And at the end, they said, it's starting for iOS only, for iPads and iPhones. And as we're leaving, the PR guy said, are you excited about this? I said, well, I only have an Android phone. He said, oh, we have a solution for that. He said, an iPad Touch.
So oh, my gosh.
And they gave you a code so you could get any of the lessons for free. I learned how to say C. Okay, so it was not a total loss. And then shortly after I got the iPad Touch, I saw this Mac thing. The iPad Touch was $229 at introduction, which was, I did that little conversion. In today's money, it would be around $341. And this little guy was $60 back then, so that was pretty expensive. But as I said, surprisingly, they still both work. So from 16 years ago, the GizWiz country theme is on the iPad
The interface
Touch.
Is so funny.
Oh, come on.
D-A-I-L. Why, it's the Daily GizWiz. It's the Daily GizWiz. It's the Daily GizWiz. It makes its own gravy.
All right. It's not the country. And it goes right into a Mad Minute. Okay, so it still works after 16 years.
That's crazy.
And this month, 20 years
wow.
of the GizWiz. It started February 20th, 2006.
Wow. Wow, 20 years. That's insane. That's insane. Yeah, the iPod Touch, what a classic. I can't believe it hasn't been updated or anything. The old interface was a trip.
Yes, yes.
And it still works great. No battery issues or anything. That's crazy.
No, it charged right up. I was amazed.
That's
amazed.
Crazy. Yeah, those old that 30-pin connector, the moment I saw it, I was like, wow. Holy moly. Wow. That's really cool. That's so funny. They were like, here, just have an iPod Touch. Yeah. You don't have that? Check it out. That's really cool. Okay. With that, let's... how can people send in their warehouse videos, Dickie?
Okay. Yeah, we're actually looking for videos soon. All right. Make a video, 1 to 3 minutes, anything to do with a gadget. You have an old gadget like that. That's a lot of fun to see something from 15 to 20 years ago, working or not. We love talking about it and how little technology back then cost a lot of money. So make a video, 1 to 3 minutes, any kind of gadget, good, bad. Make sure it's landscape and we can hear you, and email it to us, mail@gizwiz.tv. And if we show it, we're showing 99% of what we get. Or you'll get the current issue of Mad Magazine autographed to you. And if you live outside the U.S., I will autograph a 40-year-old Alfred E. Newman photo and send you a high-res image for you to print out wherever else you are. Mail@gizwiz.tv. Anything to do with a gadget, do it.
Do it. Do it now. With that, let's move on to the letter.
Our letter is from Phil in Toronto. He says, hi, everybody. I enjoy the show. For some reason, YouTube directed me to a now five-year-old documentary on Eddie Goldfarb, inventor of over 800 toys, including the Yakety Yak teeth, Kaplunk, and the bubble gum, and the bubble gun. Really interesting life of inventing so many toys. He is now 103 years old.
Wow.
If you've not seen the documentary, it's at the link below. Phil from Toronto. Oh, it was a PBS show, I guess, at some point.
Yeah.
And there's, I think, a little 1 minute something there.
Yeah, let's take a look. It's right here.
Oh, there it is. Yeah. This is him at 98.
I always knew I was going to be an independent inventor.
I've seen all of these toys everywhere.
This is the bubble gun in action.
I got I have those here.
I saw a magazine ad for a tooth garage. It was a big hit right from the start. And this is what it does. When I first get an idea of something, I visualize how I'm going to build it step by step. And when it comes to toys and games, anything can give me an idea.
Wow.
I think that when you do creative work, you stimulate your brain, and that helps keep your body healthy.
That is 103.
Yeah, that is amazing. That is amazing. That is so cool. And then just so many iconic toys, too. What a career.
Yes.
Yeah. And it looks like he had fun the whole time. That's amazing. Eddie's World. The teeth patent I saw was patented in 1950. It said it on my the God. Paper. Oh. I was like, whoa, holy moly. 76 years ago now. Yeah, that's really cool. Eddie's World. Yeah. And so, is it PBS streaming? I mean, do you have to log in for PBS streaming, I assume?
I think you have to.
Program is.
Well, nope. Pirating it. Here I am just restreaming it.
Yeah, that's good. Okay.
There you go.
Looks like you can see it.
Check it out. Excellent. Eddie's World. Excellent. Eddie's World. Thank you so much,
Bill. Thank you. That was great. That was great.
It's fantastic. Also, thank you to our patrons over at patreon.com/gizwiz. Thank you, thank you, thank you so much for supporting our show. We really appreciate your support. If you like the Gizwiz, please consider heading over to patreon.com/gizwiz and supporting our show. There you'll be supporting us every single episode. And we really, really appreciate our patrons. If you want to give one time, you can head on over to gizwiz.tv. Click on the Patreon tab at the top of the website, and then there'll be a PayPal link that you can donate that way. And this is your last chance to donate to the CES fundraiser. You can still go to gizwiz.tv/CES and donate now. Please do. And that'll be the last to hear about that. Head on over to gizwiz.tv whenever you want to watch the show live at just about every Thursday, 4:30 Pacific, 7:30 Eastern Time. And we will be live. The website will just update with the live stream whenever we are live. And please, I encourage you to join the chat room and chat along with all of the fantastic folks in the community. And if you need to catch a previous episode, you can do so on our website, on our YouTube page, or all over the internet. Head on over to gizwiz.biz. That's Dickie D's website, where he writes articles about every gadget that we cover on the show. So if you ever need a link back or a reminder about a gadget like that lollipop that would try to play music into your molars, you can do that at gizwiz.biz. While you're there, play What the Heck Is It? This is the game show where you get to guess the gadget, not just a piece or a part of the gadget. That is the entire gadget. And this is obvious to me that this was the Apple's attempt at a battery case, and they called it the battery touch, you know, the iBattery touch. No idea. Get a guess the number at gizwiz.biz. 6 Mad Magazines for correct answers, 12 Mad Magazines for funny, clever, or hilarious answers. So get a guessing over at gizwiz.biz. That about wraps it up for our show. We'll see you next week.
I'll be here.